What's up, Dolphin Universe? Chris from Perfectville Podcast here. You've heard of Amazon.com, right? Of course you have. Did you know that you can help the Perfectville Podcast just by shopping on Amazon like you normally do? It's seriously this simple. Just go to WelcomeToPerfectville.com and click the Amazon link on the right-hand side of the page. Then, shop like normal. That's it. All done, no tricks, gimmicks, or fees to you. And just for taking that added step, you're helping kick back to the show for things like microphone upgrades, pop screens, server space, future show merchandise, meetups, tailgate banners, and more. So next time you're hitting up Amazon for back-to-school supplies, a Ryan Tannehill jersey, or that Fuck the Jets bumper sticker, do it through WelcomeToPerfectville.com and help out the show. Goodbye from Perfectville, and go Dolphins.
Guys aren't following us on Twitter yet at Perfectville Pod. I just retweeted some photos of the old Miami Dolphins Stadium, Joe Robbie Stadium, and the new stadium with the lawn and everything in. No hash marks or anything yet. I mean, it's not ready for football quite yet, but looking at these photos, go ahead and follow us on Twitter at Perfectville Pod and take a look at these if you have not seen them. If you're a Miami Dolphins fan, this is absolutely insane. The difference between 2 years ago with the orange seats and the baseball field pretty much still being there up until October when the Marlins were done, and what it looks like now. I mean, it's night and day, which, by the way, welcome to Perfectville, where it is night and day at all times. Chris Cullen, Sam Marcoux here. What's with up? You once again. Chris, you've seen these pictures, right?
Looking at them right now, and yeah, you're right. The difference is uncanny of the Now that I see them, hideous orange seats. Right. I mean, so bad. It is so bad. And the new one is just so clean and so easy on the eyes. It's very, very beautiful stadium.
Yeah, it looks like, you know, obviously they've got the canopy on there, and part of the field is going to be in shade during the day games and all that. But it doesn't look like the same stadium. I mean, it's been so much has changed from, you know, 2 years ago to now. I mean, obviously they put the new seats in last year, and now they're putting in the half dome, if you want to call it that. And God, it just looks like a brand new stadium. And, you know, Stephen Ross gets a lot of shit. I've kind of mentioned this on a previous podcast. He gets a lot of shit, and for a lot of good reasons, but you cannot say that the man does not spend money. He's spending $500 million to upgrade the stadium. Now, granted, he's going to benefit from that too. I mean, Super Bowls are going to be played here. There's going to be other events, concerts, you know,
national championships. Yeah.
Exactly. There's going to be all kinds of things that he is going to benefit from. So it's not just a charitable $500 million that he's handing out. But this was originally supposed to be a public sector finance. That's what he wanted. It got rejected. And a lot of times when that happens, owners just say, screw it, I'm going to leave then. If the right. public won't give me money, I'm going to leave. I'm going to take the team and go somewhere else where I can get free money. And he did not do that. He said the team is going to stay here. It is the Miami Dolphins. And he shelled out his own money and made a deeper investment than I think most owners would be willing to do to bring this beautiful stadium. So I commend Stephen Ross. You know, like I said, he's got a lot of things that he's done in the past that I think we kind of question. I mean, the Jim Harbaugh fiasco, hiring Joe Philbin, not firing Joe Philbin, things like that, Bullygate under his watch. But this is something that he should be really proud of, man. It's incredible to take a look at this.
He should, and I've actually always been a big fan of Stephen Ross. Yeah, he's made mistakes, but he was a very new owner. I mean, he had the money. He's like the 17th richest man in the entire planet Earth, and he's like, yeah, let me buy a football team. And a lot of people like give him hate and stink because he's supposedly a Jets fan or whatever, and like he's trying to sabotage a team from the inside, but he hasn't done anything that shows that he's not willing to open his wallet and do whatever necessary for this team. We've been making big free agent splashes, good or bad. And that's not Stephen Ross's fault. That's, you know, our eye of talent, our GMs and our scouting department going to Stephen Ross and him saying, whatever it takes, here's the money. So you have to give him credit for that. And this stadium, you're right. I mean, it's just unbelievable to me that this stadium was built in 87. And now it's looking like it's brand new and it's phenomenally made, redone. Didn't think it could be possible. And they're using like, did you see the type of grass they're using? It's like this like crazy new lab grass that will grow even in the shade. It can grow on plastic, and they've been actually practicing on it in Davie this entire training and mini camp.
No, I didn't know they were using anything sort of special. It's still a natural grass, so to speak, though, correct? It's not like a new turf or any sort of...
Well, yeah, it's not like turf, but it's kind of like, I guess, a hybrid type grass. Like a Bermuda is what they've been normally using.
Right.
That grows, can only grow with direct sunlight. With this canopy, obviously, if you look at the pictures and depending on the time of day and the year or the month, shade will be a big factor on this grass, so parts of it would not grow. So they had to test and do the research, and they came up with this crazy new hybrid type grass that can literally grow on plastic, but it's durable and strong enough to play football on, sports on, and that's what they're using. And it's just more props to our sports engineering department, our analytics team, these guys that have gone out and like try to be innovative and ahead of the curve when it comes to things like sports science, even all the way down to the grass we use in our stadium. So that's impressive. And it's really something, if we can be good on the football field, at least we have like really cool stuff to brag about in the off season.
Yeah. At least we'll look good when we lose here in Miami. It looks, it looks great. I mean, the four screens in the corners of the stadium look amazing. You know, most stadiums have a scoreboard or two on either end of the end zone. They did something a little bit differently. They hung it underneath the canopy as opposed to above the upper deck. So it's a little bit closer to the field, but your viewing area, being able to watch the screens. And I don't know about you, but every time I go to a football game, even if I'm up close, I do tend to look at the screens quite a bit.
Sure.
And I think because we're conditioned by television, of course, to watch TV. But having those four screens, pretty much not where you have to crane your neck 90 degrees or look across the field if you're underneath one of them to take a look at it, it's going to help the viewing experience on some level too. So a lot of good engineering, a lot of good, like you said, analytics on how to make this work. So the way they do this too is kind of crazy, because I live here in the Silicon Valley, as you know, Santa Clara County here in California. A lot of high-tech stuff, Chris, as you know. And I was actually brought in by Google about 2 years ago, maybe even a little bit longer than that, to watch basketball on the 50-yard line, basically, or 50-yard line. Look at me all football. at mid-court, at half-court.
They're hitting home runs and everything in that game.
It was insane. There was like three goals and everything. But I was actually supposed to wear Google Glass with the camera and everything that's in there,
right,
and sit half-court. And basically what they did is they tracked my movements as a fan sitting there, what I actually am watching, right? So basically, okay, to make a better TV viewing experience, what do fans look at when they're at the game? Are they looking at the action? Are they looking at the coaches? Are they, you know, when there's a break in the action, are they looking at the cheerleaders? What are they doing? So that way they take all of my analytics as well as everybody else's, and they actually put it together and start analyzing and saying, okay, when we do our camera shoots coming in and out of commercial, we need to show, you know, in this case it was a college basketball game, we're going to show the band, or we're going to show the cheerleaders, or we're going to show, you know, the concession stands, just like all those shots that are just more visually appealing that people actually look at when you're a fan at the game, to make sure that when you're a viewer, you kind of get that in-game experience, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And they did a lot of that here with the Miami Dolphins with the stadium. Another thing I was able to do that I can talk about now, I was actually able to tour the San Francisco 49ers new stadium, which is actually down in Santa Clara County near me, a couple of years ago before it opened. And I was able to walk the entire thing. And who happened to be there the day that I was there before this thing was even open to the public?
Artie Lang.
Miami Dolphins officials were there. And they were at the time in competition with the San Francisco 49ers to get Super Bowl 50, which the Niners obviously got in terms of the stadium. But what they did there is they were getting a lot of information as to how the Niners actually put this stadium together. And one of the things that the Niners did that I think is really unique, and I'm almost positive that we have taken that idea and applied it to the stadium today, is if you look at the San Francisco 49ers stadium and the way the sun sets over here, and the way the stadium is placed in the afternoon, so 1 o'clock games here on the West Coast, 4 o'clock for you on the East Coast, the sun is setting over the top of the stadium to a way where they built a tower where there will be shade on the San Francisco 49ers sideline, and the opposing team will be baking in the sun. Now, that's not a new necessarily new thing. We in Miami, we've had the sun to our advantage for a long time, and part of that is because we were playing in the sun and, you know, the humidity and everything. But what I think it's more important to know is here for the Miami Dolphins is that, A, the heat in Miami is way worse than it is in Northern California. The humidity is way worse. Just everything is worse in Florida than California. Just go that way. Heat, politics, everything. But when you look at the new stadium and the way they concocted this, it's pretty much the same thing that the Niners did. It looks like the away team is going to be sitting in the sun while the Dolphins will be in the shade. And according to who you believe, that could be anywhere from a 10 to 30 degree difference in terms of how it feels on the field. That's incredible. That is science giving you a home field advantage.
Well, and it's so easy to think that they're going to just build a stadium or redo the stadium and just make it look pretty and throw it out there to make some money. Everybody's expecting these days for a quick money grab. They're going to cut as many corners as possible, whereas the Dolphins have come out and done literally the opposite of that and done anything possible to make this the best stadium experience for the fans and for the players. And not only that, by giving us an advantage, just literally with the weather by doing this. And if you look at the pictures, you can see where the sun and the shade is depending on the month, because, you know, you're on a different axis and things like that, I guess. Go back to science in sixth grade. But like, there's never a time where the Dolphins home sideline is in the sun. There's always a time when the visiting sideline is in the sun, whether it be September, which is the most, or even November, December games, where it won't be as much of a difference because it'd be cooler, but they're in the sun constantly. And that's even hopefully the away fans sit those plebs back there and let them roast in the sun. Maybe they'll stop coming to the stadium. But like, really, the way they've done all of this with the fact that they even like came over to San Francisco and toward their stadium and said, look, we want ours to look like this too. It's paying dividends, and it's going to pay dividends for the at-game experience for the fans. The players are going to enjoy it. It's something now the announcers can talk about. It's cool stuff that's updated in Madden and all kinds of different things where like it just makes everybody excited. So kudos to Stephen Ross for getting turned away publicly, and instead of taking his ball and going home or going somewhere else, he said, fuck it, I'll do it. And not only paid for it, but paid for like the best of the best. And while you were speaking, I found that grass. It's an extremely rare and expensive strain of grass, super synthetic strain. It's called Platinum TE Paspalum.
Oh my God. I think I smoked that after a comedy show the other day. Yeah, that stuff is expensive and rare. Absolutely.
Tough, shade tolerant, vintage, used more on golf courses than football fields. They decided on that 18 months ago. 18 months of research have gone into this because they just rolled the grass out yesterday or the day before. And they had to make sure it was NFL compliant, that could grow under 14 acres of a shade canopy. And they've done it. And not only that, Stephen Ross spent the money on it. So kudos to the Dolphins. Kudos to Stephen Ross. And I can't wait to get there one day. And honestly, like we were talking about concerts and things like that, they'll have a WrestleMania soon, probably one day. And what they have done, it shouldn't go unnoticed and should be applauded.
No, I think it gives them one of the best stadiums in the NFL. And not just because of the heat and shade factor there in terms of the sun and the shade, but you know, having that canopy there, if we ever start becoming good again and Miami Dolphins fans actually go to Miami Dolphins home games instead of having, you know, away fans there filling out the stadium, I think the sound in there is going to be just insane, because it's going to, instead of escaping out of the top, it's going to bounce off that canopy and come right back down onto the field. So that could be a huge, huge advantage if, you know, you're on defense or something and you're trying to get off the field on a third down and the offense can't hear the play call and they have to call timeout or whatever the case that is. I mean, that is an actual bona fide home field advantage that teams like the Seattle Seahawks and the Kansas City Chiefs that have just loud, loud stadiums can employ and actually can enjoy that, because the fans are actually helping change the outcome of the game, even if simple as like a timeout being called in the third quarter because the quarterback just simply can't hear and he needs to be able to calm everybody down by calling a timeout and getting the fans to kind of settle down. So I think that's huge. I think this whole stadium in general, some people hate the seating here, which came out last year with the couches and everything like that. I think that's great. Like maybe I'm in the wrong. I don't think an 18-inch plastic seat is exactly a fun way to watch football. I mean, most of us watch football sitting on the couch, sitting at a bar, having a beer, you know, having kind of more space than what they allow you at a stadium. People who hate that, it's like, then don't buy it. Like, go buy a shitty little seat like the rest of the people. I kind of like the idea that there's some couches and and different viewing type of ideas at this game. I mean, it's not just all the same type of seat everywhere.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I mean, I think the thing that people worry about, I guess, is if it's more expensive seats, it's going to be the less rowdy fan at the bottom. But I don't buy that at all. That's like complaining and rather sitting in coach than in first class because the seats are too big and comfortable. Like, I mean, there's plenty of people that make money and can afford these tickets or know somebody that can that are big Dolphins fan and will make noise, especially with the added acoustics of the canopy. I don't understand the people that complain about that either.
Yeah, I don't. I think it's people that have kind of like this old school tradition, quote unquote, of, hey, football's supposed to be played in, you know, outdoor conditions, which I actually tend to agree with. You're supposed to be uncomfortable as a fan and you're supposed to be loud right. and obnoxious and all that. You know, it's almost like the get off my lawn. Back in my day, things were better. And it's just kind of like things evolve. I mean, you don't see 3 yards in a cloud of dust anymore either. I mean, you have spread wide open offenses that, you know, air the ball out. That's just how it is. Things move on and move forward and progress. And I think going to a stadium, I mean, look at baseball. You go to a baseball stadium, the San Francisco Giants have a beautiful stadium, but I hate it as a traditional baseball fan because they have a big stupid slide in the outfield for the kids. And they have a mini baseball park for the kids to go play baseball instead of watch baseball. And part of me wants to go, hey, stupid kid, go look at the pros that are playing right over there. But you know what? You can't do that. You can't expect that because the way we are as a society, you need to have, you know, it's an entertainment thing, right? Like, it's not just football. Football's one element of you going out to the stadium that day. And for as much money as you have to pay to go to an actual sporting event these days, I'm all for it. Give them options. If people, you know, if a kid doesn't want to sit in a seat and you have the money, put them on a couch and maybe they'll, you know, enjoy it a little bit more and become a fan down the road or something like that. So I don't have any issues with it. I think the stadium's great. What's not great and hopefully will be great at some point is the actual Miami Dolphins football team. We are in the middle of training camp. We've seen some good. We've seen some bad. We do have some injury concerns at the running back position. We have some depth issues, I think. Hopefully it's all just minor stuff and it all comes together. But I can see right now on offense, that's along with the offensive line, in particular the guard positions, I'm starting to circle the running back position as an area of concern coming out of training camp. I think we might be in for not a long season because of it, but we might want to start tempering our expectations from the running backs. And you might start, you know, looking at some of the other names and seeing who's going to be around on a practice squad or who's actually going to be cut from some other teams as the training camp and preseason progresses. Because these guys, if they continue to get dinged up and injured, we're going to need some replacements.
Absolutely. And with the brutality of our schedule this year, you really can't count on a Damian Williams or obviously a Daniel Thomas or Isaiah Pede. We really need Drake and Ajayi and Foster healthy. But when you're coming in with so many ifs, all in the same position, it would be just our luck. We finally solidify our offensive line, get weapons around Tannehill as far as receivers and tight ends. And then all of a sudden we have a huge question mark at running back. It's just like the constant merry-go-round of being a Dolphins fan.
If it comes down to starting Daniel Thomas or not having a running back whatsoever, I say we just go five wide and let's let it fly. I don't want Daniel Thomas anywhere near this backfield or near this team. That guy is the human Zika virus. I think he comes anywhere near us and all of a sudden we're getting sick. I don't need him anywhere near the Miami Dolphins.
I would literally put Tannehill back there in shotgun and just put Jakeem Grant next to him and just, you know, even though he's not a running back, just do pitches and throw it 60 times a game. Who cares?
I would rather put Tannehill's new son back there as a starting running back than I would Daniel Thomas at this point. I mean,
what do you think about his name, by the way? Steel.
I don't know. I you know, one of the knocks on Ryan Tannehill is his decision making, and I think that naming your child Steel when it's a fleshy ball of blob to start with, I don't know if that's exactly
the right. But did you see his hair?
No, I haven't looked
at
any pictures.
Holy shit, dude, you have to see. It was on Reddit, on our Miami Dolphins. You can probably find it there, one of the top posts. If not, just Google it. I'm sure everybody's talking about it. 12 days old, and this kid had fucking unbelievable. He looked like he was in, like, the OC. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was, like, mohawked perfectly, like, long, gorgeous flowing hair for a 12-day-old baby. It's, like, not even fair.
Well, that's what's concerning about me is because Ryan Tannehill is, like, super lily white, and his freaking wife is, like, Hitler's, you know, poster child. And usually when white people have white babies, it doesn't have a lot of hair. It's kind of got that old man hair. Holy shit, I'm looking at it now. You're right.
Yes! It looks fake.
It looks like it was like somebody photoshopped it from a model from Vogue or some shit.
I know. Like Laguna Beach, like part two, infants. Like it's and starring Steel Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill might want to change the spelling of Steel to Steal because I think Lauren Tannehill stole that baby from a Mexican. Look at that hair, my God. Jesus Christ.
It's amazing, right? Like, holy crap.
Wow. Well, congrats to them. I knew they had a kid. I didn't even know they had a son. I've been so out of it when it comes to the actual pop culture side of the Miami Dolphins that I...
We've been too busy on Meiko Grimes. Everything else has been a blur.
Yeah, he's got... Steel's got better hair than Meiko Grimes, that's for sure, man. That is... Man, I'm jealous of that hair. I have a full head of hair, but I want that hair right there.
So nice.
Well, congrats to them and Steel. Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird name, but you know what? People, nobody's named John anymore, or Mark, or even Chris, for that matter. It's everyone's got to have a unique name, which, you know, whatever.
Like Samuel.
You know, what? I mean, at least Sam's an old, like, Jewish name, and I'm not even Jewish, but at least it's a name that's been around for a while. People are just literally naming them, you know, naming things after elements now, like, you know, Steel or like a fucking plastic water bottle Tannehill. You know, it's like it doesn't. Whatever. It's not a Miami Dolphins related topic, but it's frustrating to say the least. Okay, so we talked about the stadium ad nauseum. I think we both agree that it's kind of a fantastic addition to the Miami Dolphins.
10.
Yeah, and then we've got training camp. We have some injuries there. Like you said, Devontae Parker being injured again. It's a little bit concerning. Last year was the foot. This year is the hamstring. You know, we have a lot of depth at the wide receiver position. And matter of fact, one of the names that's been popping up kind of surprisingly is not only Jakeem Grant, but Kenny Stills, who had somewhat of an underwhelming season last year for the Miami Dolphins. I think we expected more out of Kenny Stills than what we got. But so far, it sounds like early in camp that he's actually one of the standouts, at least in the wide receiver position. Yeah.
Yeah, he's come in shape, ready to go. I think a chip on his shoulder. And I think, honestly, Adam Gase loves this guy. I think his versatility, his speed, knowing that we have Parker, Cameron, and Landry really taking up the big-time defensive players and as far as coverage goes. You leave a guy like Kenny Stills on a second-team corner, a nickel corner, a strong safety, and he's uncoverable. Tannehill hit Kenny Stills for a touchdown today, deep, 101. Which is concerning for our corners. They seem to be getting burnt like toast all day, which is not unexpected. It's bad when rookie Xavier Howard has only literally showed up to the facility to do some bench presses, and our former defensive coordinator, who Lou Aronimo or whatever the hell his name is, who's now the DB's coach, has literally came out and said he's going to be fighting for a starting role, like, immediately whenever he gets cleared, because he led the team in interceptions during minicamp or what have you. So our cornerback field is really thin. But yeah, back to your point, Kenny Stills has showed up looking good and could be one of those guys that, like, we're excited when we got him last year and kind of dropped off, like you said. He didn't seem to have the chemistry with Tannehill. Obviously, he didn't have Drew Brees throwing him the ball anymore. And now with the weapons around him, Stills can really stand out this year. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I would like to see, you know, when it going to your defensive back and cornerback in particular point, for any Dolphins out there, if you show up early to a Miami Dolphins game, you actually might actually get to play and be a backup cornerback for this team. That's how thin they are right now. That's going to be an area of concern, and that's actually going to be one of the things that, as we come up on one of our next episodes, is going to be the preview of our first preseason game against the New York Giants. It is here, Chris. We are less than a week away from preseason football, official football.
Yes.
That sort of kind of means something, right? I mean, injuries are going to be affected, going to affect the team going into the regular season, and we get to actually see us play against another actual NFL team. So we're going to be talking about all the different positions. If you guys have not, like I said, follow us on Twitter at Perfectville Pod. You can also go to welcometoperfectville.com and check out Wright Travis Wright, the hottest blogger, not in terms of looks, but probably in terms of temperature. Travis Wingfield, now writing for welcometoperfectville.com 2 times a week, Mondays and Thursdays, just released a blistering commentary on the New York Jets, one of our rivals in the AFC East, which, speaking of which, the AFC East, we don't really talk about the AFC East here because this is a Miami Dolphins podcast, but Chris likes to broaden the horizons. I personally don't think we need to do this, like I've mentioned before, but you know, he is the co-host. He gets an opinion. He gets to do things and write segments for this show. So, as always, he wants to spend a second talking about the AFC East. So, Chris, what is going on that is so important that we need to talk on a Miami Dolphins podcast about on the AFC East.
This is a second on the AFC East.
Brandon Marshall punched Revis today.
That was a second on the AFC East.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. New York Jets getting into fights. We got into some fights ourselves with the Miami Dolphins, did we not? Didn't we have our young rookie Laremy Tunsil getting into a fight with one of our defensive players?
Yeah, Chris McCain battling for a roster spot. Kind of disappointing last year after Wake went down. People were hoping he would step it up, and there's times he wasn't even active during the Sunday games or 53 man. But yeah, him and rookie Laremy Tunsil. The cool thing is, if you look at the video of the footage, it's not really a fight, more of a skirmish. It happens all the time, but I think it's cool to see a rookie like that because he stonewalled him. McCain didn't go anywhere. Completely stonewalled him. I know. Stonewalled him, locked out arms. McCain got pissed, kind of, hey, fuck you, rookie, shoved him. And Tunsil wasn't having that. He gave him a straight right jab right to the face mask. McCain countered. I think the coolest thing about all these skirmishes, and not cool, but it's hilarious to watch, are the guys that are going to jump in for whatever like color jersey they're wearing. But they always are sprinting while putting on their helmets because no one's dumb enough to go out there with their helmet off. And, like, you just see it. Like, guys just chilling on the sideline getting water. Oh, a fight. They strap up their helmets and run out there to break it up and or throw a quick punch here or there.
Well, given Laremy Tunsil's checkered past with weed and the fact that Chris McCain went to Cal Berkeley, I have a feeling I know what they were arguing about, and it had something to do with a dime package and nothing to do with football. Speaking of Chris McCain not being active on Sundays, that motherfucker is very active on Twitter every single day. So that's a good point. I'm going to take a look at what he's doing on Sunday during game day, because if this guy's responding to tweets like he is during the rest of the week, I think we got a problem. But I actually like Chris McCain. I hope he does really well. I'm rooting for him because the guy does a lot of cool stuff, like bring kids onto the field before every home game.
Yes.
And get them the opportunity to be on the field with the players, which is a really cool thing. He does it on his own. He doesn't really have anybody telling him to do that. It's just a thing he does. So I'm rooting for him. Hopefully he can only get blocked by offensive linemen for the Miami Dolphins coming into the season. What else is going on? Like I said, you can go to welcometoperfectville.com, click on the amazon.com link, and do all of your shopping like you normally do at amazon.com. But since you clicked on the link on our website, Amazon's going to give us a couple dollars kick back to the site so that we can go ahead and make some money on this podcast here, Perfectville, and put the money back into the show, buying new equipment. Chris recently upgraded some of his equipment that's going to help out the show here before too long. And I think that's about it. We just kind of just did a little random, we swept out the garage here today, Chris. We're just talking about all the stuff we wanted to talk about, but we haven't had a chance to do. Anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here on this episode?
No, good one as always. And yeah, it feels like we missed like four days, and it feels like there's just tons of information. I love this time of year.
Yeah, it is. It's just the hits keep on coming, quite literally. Also, if you're following us on iTunes, go ahead and subscribe to us and rate and review us. That helps out the show. The more times we get more reviews and ratings, it kicks the show out to more people. And since you guys are Miami Dolphins fans and you guys do such a good job of promoting this on the different websites like Reddit and the Fins and FinHeaven and all those different places out there, you can really help us out by, like I said, just going to the iTunes library, click on Perfectville, the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, review it, and that's all you got to do. And then from there on out, just go ahead and listen to us. You can write us at perfectvillepodcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us at perfectvillepod, and then you can get the fuck out of Perfectville just like we're going to do. So thanks again, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon. Don't miss our preview of the Giants-Dolphins preseason game coming up later this week. And until then, goodbye from Perfectville.
Later.
Perfectville.